to Mark chapter 11, and I'll do my best to finish my introduction to this new series of messages entitled Life-Changing Faith. Mark chapter 11. Let me get situated up here. I'm not sure I've got things on the right side. Let's do it this way. Otherwise, I'll preach this message backwards. Let's see. Okay. Mark chapter 11, just to give you just a little background before I read these verses in verses 22 to 24. This again is, this is Holy Week. Jesus has come into Jerusalem, cleansing of the temple, cursing of the fig tree. All of these things are happening. I think it's Matthew's gospel that also tells us that miracles have been happening in the temple at the hands of the Lord during the early part of the week. But Jesus had seen a fig tree that had no fruit on it. And so he spoke to the fig tree and he cursed it. And the Bible says that it withered from the roots up. And so when Peter reminded Jesus of what he was seeing, where that fig tree was concerned, Jesus responded to him this way. He says in Mark 11, 22 to 24, excuse me. Jesus answered saying to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, on the principle of the power of the words that you speak, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Now, I haven't prepared myself yet to get into these verses per se, but rather just to use them again today as an introduction, to finish out the introduction to our series on life-changing faith. Pray with me if you would, please. Father, as we look at your word today, and I share my heart with my church family, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide my lips and my thoughts, and you would help me to convey a message of truth to your people who are here today. I know, Lord, that the teaching of faith has often been distorted, but Father, we know that there is a true message of faith, and that's what our heart is after today. To know how to truly live by the faith that can change our lives. So speak to us, Father, in these moments together today. And I thank you for encouraging us and our journeys in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So last time that we spoke, I began by taking you on sort of a nostalgia tour to talk about some of the things of my own spiritual journey. The thing that I wanted to relate to you, and I can share this whole message in 3 seconds. My message to you today is this. Listen, God responds to faith. God responds to faith. What's the significance of that? What's the big deal about that, Pastor? Why is that so significant? Well, listen. For many people believe that life is just what it is. And whatever comes, you have to take it. And there's no way to ever change anything about it. And you just have to accept it. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff about life that is that way. But not everything. And there are some things in life that God wants to change. There are some things in us that God wants to change. And God responds to our faith to make those changes in our lives. God responds to faith. This is why, brother and sister, you and I want to learn how to live by faith every day. Because God will respond to the faith of our heart and sometimes change circumstances. Other times, He will just change us. But God is looking for faith. And we've talked about the scripture in John 11 where Jesus said, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. The glory of God is the power of God. It's the grace of God. It's the miracle working ability of God. And he says, if you believe, you will see these things in your life. And so last time we got together, or last time I shared on this particular message, I began to share some things about my own spiritual journey and my own concept of God. My concept of God was, even after becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God was somehow, you know, way off in the heavenlies somewhere, and didn't really have a whole lot to do with the things that were going on the earth. God's out there, we're down here. And as far as the Bible was concerned, the Bible to me was just a book of history. But as God began to introduce me to a message of faith, a message of trusting Him every day, I began to realize that God cares about us. God wants to be intimately involved in our lives. God wants to move in our lives in special ways. And there are times when God wants to change our circumstances. And there are a lot of times when God wants to change us and do something awesome on the inside of us and make us a completely different person in response to our faith in the Lord. I learned that God is an unchangeable God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I learned that the Word doesn't change. You know, our culture, our society today, so many people today don't even accept the Bible as the Word of God. That doesn't mean anything to them anymore. But God's Word is always the same. It never changes. And that's why we know we can put our faith in God's Word. Because if God says something, you can bet that God's going to fulfill that promise in our lives if we will just believe what He has to say. God responds to our faith. So I shared with you a little bit about our journey and some things that we had seen as we learned to trust God in our lives. And I shared a couple of examples with you. In fact, well, I just shared one. I shared the examples with you so you can see the process of faith. This is so important to me. And I'll tell you why. I grew up in the early days of what was called back in the 80s, the faith movement. And I believe the men of God in those days were sincere. There were a lot of things they were wrong about, but they were sincere in the things that they taught. And one of the things that I believe they taught that was an error was a particular doctrine that they called name it, claim it. It's actually based on what we just read there in Mark chapter 11, 22 to 24. It tells us in that verse of scripture, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it. And you'll have it. Whatever you desire. And so the teaching that came out of that verse was just name it and claim it. Whatever you want, tell God, believe Him for it, and God will do it in your life. And I began to realize that at an early stage in my spiritual journey that seemed to me to be putting me in charge of God. If I was naming it and claiming it and then God had to do it, isn't that making me in charge of God and God sort of my servant? And I realized that couldn't be true. And I had to go back to the 22nd verse where it says, have faith in God. And everything starts with faith in God. And here's the secret about faith in God. The faith that we have in God actually comes from God. God initiates the faith. So God has to initiate the faith by speaking to us first, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I shared one example with you so that you could see that process. God speaks, we believe and obey, God responds with grace. I shared the story of Sean's healing when he was just a child. Get the croup every time the seasons changed. Wearing circumstances on us as parents to have to deal with that. And the doctors actually told us, I don't think I shared this with you last time, we took Sean to the doctor every 3 or 4 months. We're going to the doctor because he's got this terrible croup and his throat's closing. I mean, he can't breathe and all this. And we took our son to the doctor, and the doctor began to treat him again. And I remember asking the doctor, I said, doctor, What's this look like? What's the future look like? Is he ever going to outgrow this? Doctor said, well, He said he may, and now Sean is just a little, I don't know, 3-4 years old, something like that. Becky could tell you more than I could. But he's just a little boy. And the doctor said, well, you know, he may outgrow it by the time he's 8 or 9 years old, or he may deal with this all of his life. And I can just remember thinking when he said that, oh my God, all of his life he's going to be dealing with this. Are you kidding me? And we'd begin hearing a message on faith. We began hearing about healings and how God is the same. We begin to hear how the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick will recover. But you got to hear what I'm about to say. The night of Sean's healing, I didn't go in and lay my hands on Sean for healing because I remembered a scripture I had read some time ago. That's not what happened. The night of Sean's healing, we are all in the bed. We're trying to go to sleep. I hear Sean cough a couple times. I think in my mind, oh God, here we go again. He's about to get the croup again. In my spirit, I heard what I know now to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he simply said this, lay hands on the sick will recover. I didn't get it out of something I'd read years. I got it in a moment when the Holy Spirit spoke. Now watch the process. The Holy Spirit spoke. Faith came to my heart. Because faith came to my heart, I obeyed what he said. And because I obeyed what he said, God responded with grace. I went into Sean's bedroom, across the little hallway. I laid my hands on Sean. I prayed a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please heal my son. Sean coughed a couple more times, rolled over, went to sleep. 3-4-year-old child, rolled over, went to sleep, and never had the croup since. God healed him that night. Faith comes. We obey. God responds by grace. I had another example I wanted to share with you, and I think I'll go ahead and do it this morning. It's about Ben's victory over cancer about 17 years ago now. It was mentioned last night as his retirement dinner. In January 2007, Ben was diagnosed with cancer. You know, it's hard enough to hear when your parents have cancer, but when your child gets cancer, that's a whole different story. And so I'll never forget, he called me on his way home from the doctor, and he said, Dad, I've been to the doctor. He had a couple of sinus infections going on for a while, different times, and they finally went in and decided to do a little deeper search. And so he's calling him in, he's telling me, he said, Dad, went to the doctor and did this and that and took x-rays, and Dad, I might have this or I might have this. And then he said, but Dad, I might have cancer. He came home, went to see his wife. Met up with him, prayed for him, began to talk about all the possibilities, and just to make a long story a little longer, I had been reading probably not too long prior to that. I'd been reading a story in Genesis chapter 22 about Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham takes his son Isaac to a mountain to offer him as a sacrifice to God, because God told him to do that. And Abraham believed so strongly in God. See, God had told Abraham, through this son, Isaac, I'm going to give you a multitude of descendants. And then God says, Abraham, take Isaac to a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. Wait a minute. You're going to give me children through him, but now you're telling me to kill him? And did you know that Abraham never hesitated? He took his son to the mountain, fully intending to offer him as a sacrifice to God, fully believing that if he went through with it, God would raise him from the dead. Because God had promised him children through this boy, and God cannot lie. So if I kill him, God's got to raise him, or God's a liar. And he knows God's not a liar. And so he takes his son, and he's willing to offer him to the Lord. Just before the knife comes down, God intervenes. And he gives Abraham his son, Isaac. He gives Isaac back to him. I've been reading that story. The Lord spoke to my heart. As I'm praying for Ben, God said this to my heart. If you'll give your son to me, I'll give him back to you. And I remembered Abraham's story, and I knew exactly what God was talking about. This was God's way of speaking to my heart. This was God's way of calming me. This was God's way of saying to me, Ken, I've got this. You give him to me. I'll take care of him. And I'll give him back to you. I can tell you that the peace of God came over my heart and over my life that day. And I knew that I knew that I knew. Ben was going to be fine. Ben was not going to die from this disease. I made a promise to Ben. I said, Ben, I'm going to go with you to every doctor's appointment. I'm going to go through this thing with you. I went to everything but one. Later on in 2007, I ended up in a hospital myself with gallbladder problems and was there for a week. During that week, he had an appointment. So I missed that one appointment in, 6 or 8 months of chemo and radiation, and then another 10 years of doctor's appointments, and I went to everyone with him. During the entire journey, all of the chemo and all the radiation and all those kinds of things before, and he was, at the end of about 6 or 8 months, he was pronounced cancer-free. And he's been that way ever since. After the Lord said, Ken, give me your son, I'll give him back to you, I never had any concern whatsoever about Ben. It just didn't enter my mind that anything bad could ever possibly happen. I knew he was going to be all right. It was just a matter of going through the process. I want you to see this. God didn't heal Ben, but he did change my heart. And he took the fear away. And he gave me peace to be able to walk through this whole thing with Ben. And again, when it was all said and done, Ben is completely healed. Ben is completely whole. See the process. This is what I want you to see. God spoke. Faith came. Grace followed. He speaks. Faith comes. Grace follows. This is the process of how God changes our lives, of how God changes our circumstances. God is looking for faith, brother and sister. God is looking today for a people who will believe in Him. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, Jesus Himself says this. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith in the earth? He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. That God responds to faith is so evident in so many of the stories in the Bible and in the New Testament. I want to share just a couple of them with you this morning, just to show you that God is looking for a people who will believe in Him and believe what His Word has to say. Look, you're in the Gospel of Mark there. I think I'm going to stay there. Look over at it's the 10th chapter, the end of the 10th chapter, I think. Yeah, let's just do this from Mark. A very familiar story probably to you. It's the story of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, whom Jesus healed. Let's read it together from Mark chapter 11, verse 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. Now Jesus, this is at the end of Jesus' ministry. He is coming toward Jerusalem, at which time he will give his life as a sacrifice on Passover there. That moment is just in front of Jesus. But he's coming from Jericho, heading to Jerusalem. And it says, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard something. When he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, look at this. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. Every Jew knows that son of David means Messiah. Somehow, somewhere, someway, Bartimaeus has heard about Jesus and has heard that he is the Messiah of God, the Son of David. He has heard the word of the Lord. Hey, the Bible says a person can't believe in Jesus unless the Holy Spirit make it real to him. So evidently some reason, in some way, the Holy Spirit has revealed to Bartimaeus who Jesus is. He has heard the word from the Holy Spirit. When he heard from the Holy Spirit, faith came to his heart. So when he hears Jesus is coming down the road, he begins to call out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I love verse 49, the next three words. And Jesus stopped. Whew. Jesus stopped. Bartimaeus' faith stopped Jesus in his tracks. You want to get God's attention? Believe in him. Believe in him. Jesus stopped and called him and said, call him here. So he called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he's calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak. And I loved, I think Pastor Johnson talked about this when he was here with, not too long ago with us. That cloak that Bartimaeus is using, he's a blind beggar. And the beggars would have a garment, a coat, that they would sit by the road, they would lay this cloak in front of them, and as they heard people coming down the road, they would call out, alms for the poor, alms for the poor, and they would hope that somebody would throw an offering into that cloak that is laid on the ground in front of them. So this beggar's garment that he's wearing here, this cloak, is a beggar's garment. It's his source of income. It's what he uses for his income. It's the only way he can get income. He has to beg for it. He can't work. But when Jesus calls to him, he gets up and throws that cloak aside. See the faith in Bartimaeus, in that he would throw away the cloak, his source of income, knowing that Jesus is about to change his life and he'll never have to beg again. He gets up and throws that cloak aside, proving his faith in the Lord, and he comes to Jesus. Verse 51, answering him, Jesus said, what? Does your translation say that, by the way, in verse 51? Answering him. Answering him. It just struck me. He's answering, listen, he's answering Bartimaeus' faith. Bartimaeus hadn't said anything. He did something, but he hadn't said anything. He's demonstrated his faith, and Jesus is about to answer that faith. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus said? And the blind man said, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him down the road. Now look at verse 52. Jesus said, go away, your faith has made you well. Now understand, we understand, brother and sister, faith in and of itself has no power. It has no power. It's the power of Jesus that makes this man well. But it's on the avenue of faith that that power comes into his life. Jesus responds to his faith with grace and makes him well. faith came when he heard who Jesus was. He responded in faith by throwing away his garment and coming to Jesus. Jesus responded to his faith in grace and made him well. Let me show you one more real quickly. Look over at Mark chapter 5. Another, again, familiar situation, but I'm wanting you to see the process in these passages of Scripture and see what's going on here. God's looking for faith. God's looking for faith. I quote a scripture a lot from the Old Testament, from 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And it says, "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone to whom he can show himself strong." What's he looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. The story that's the context of that verse of scripture is the proof of that. The story is this. There's a king in Israel, and Israel comes under attack from an enemy. The king in Israel didn't think to consider God. Didn't think to go to God, pray to God, ask God what to do, or ask God for help. Instead, the king sought help from an ally, from another human being. The picture is this, brother and sister. He's trusting in a man. He's trusting in flesh. And so the prophet comes to the king and actually rebukes him for it. And he says, "Now look, you should have gone to God with this. You should have trusted God with this. You should have asked God for help, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth." He's looking for somebody who'll trust in him so he can show himself strong in response to that faith. God's looking for faith. He's looking for it. That's why we need to live by faith every day. Every day of our lives, we should live by faith in God. Mark chapter 5, let's pick up in verse 25. And my translation tells us about a woman who has a bleeding disorder for 12 years, verse 25 says there, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After, watch this, 27, after hearing about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing about Jesus, faith comes to this woman's heart. She came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, or for she was saying to herself, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." There's not a shadow of a doubt in this woman's heart. If she goes through with what she intends to do, she believes Jesus is going to heal her. Faith has come to her heart. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself, now watch verse 30, perceiving in himself that power proceeded from him and had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" So it tells us plainly in verse 30 that the source of her healing is the power of Jesus. Okay? Power flows from Jesus into this woman's body, and she's made whole. Jesus heals her. It's his power that does it. But look at how the conversation proceeds here. Verse 31. The disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And look at verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions." Jesus says again, "Your faith has made you well." We know it. We already read in verse 30, it was the power from Jesus that made her well. But Jesus is saying that it is her faith that has plugged her into the power of God so that healing could come to make her well. Brother and sister, God is looking for faith. God is looking for faith in all of us. I could show you some scriptures. We don't have time today. Maybe we'll look at them next week. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 6. Both of these passages of scripture tell us about Jesus preaching in his own hometown. And the Bible says in both of those passages of scripture that Jesus could do no mighty works, no miracles, except to heal a few people. And it implies, it tells us there, it's because of the unbelief of the people. The unbelief of the people in those situations limited what Jesus could do. Psalm 78 tells us that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel because they didn't trust in Him. Guys, it's telling me that we can miss out on some things that God would want to do in our lives if we don't believe in Him. If we don't trust in Him. The ultimate example of that is Numbers chapter 13. The children of Israel come out to the promised land. God has led them out of Egypt with constant miracles. Brought them across the desert, great miracles. Brought them to the border of the promised land, promised they could have it, told them all they had to do is go in and take it. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. And most of Israel said, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. And did you know that that entire generation of Israelites died in the wilderness and never saw the promised land that God had freely offered to them, told them they could have it if they would just go in, but they didn't believe and therefore didn't receive. They limited what God could do in their lives because of their own doubts and unbelief. And it begs the question for me, how many things have I missed out on in my life that God might have wanted to do for me, but I didn't have faith to believe for it? I'd name one right now. Thank God, and I'll thank God for second chances, because that's the reason we're on this lot right here, right now. We bought this land, 98 I think it was, when we finally actually closed on this land. We bought it, 31 acres of land. That's another miracle that I don't have time to tell. 31 acres of land, they were asking $240,000 for it. We bought it for $60,000. 31 acres of land. That's God, brother and sister. That's just God. But I walked on this land in probably 92 or 94. I saw the for sale sign. I walked this land. I thought, it'd be a great place to put a church. And I walked the land and I called a realtor, a friend of mine. And I said, how much do you want for that land? I'm ready to buy it. He said he wanted $240,000, $250,000. I didn't have a quarter. He wants $250,000. And I did not have faith to believe God would provide this land. I'm just being real honest with you. Thank God for a second chance 4 or 5 years later, when God by His grace made provision here. God is looking for faith. And I wonder how many other things I've missed in my life because I didn't believe God could do it or God would do it. Don't we say that all the time? Well, I know God will do it for somebody else, but I just don't think God will do it for me. And we doubt what God is willing to do, and we doubt His grace, and I wonder how many things we've missed in our lives because we're doubting what God is wanting to do. God speaks. Faith comes. We obey in faith. God responds with grace. That's the process, brother and sister. Notice that it begins, again, it begins and ends with God. Faith is not something we conjure up or work up on our own. Faith comes to us when God speaks to our heart. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Faith comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10:17. God initiates the faith that we have. And then when we exercise that faith in obedience, He responds with grace. This is why, brother and sister, it's so important that we learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be able to hear God, so when He speaks, faith will come. If we don't recognize His voice and we don't know how to hear God, faith's not coming. Faith's not going to be there. But this is why we need to hear the... This is why we need to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you can understand that point, then you'll understand this one. It's why church and Bible study are not laws. They're opportunities. Coming to church and reading the Bible and going to Bible study, these are not laws. These are not things that we have to do now that we're Christian. No, these are opportunities for us to tune in to the voice of the Spirit of God so that we can recognize His voice when He speaks, so that faith will come when He does. See? I'll share one more example and my time's up. 1984. Becky came to me and she said, she's very specific. She said, I'd like to have a daughter. Good luck with that. You know, this is very specific. It's not I want another child. She says, I want to have a daughter. And, you know, we got two boys. And I certainly don't want another one of them. I got two of those on me. I'm just kidding, guys. But I told her, I said, well, darling, we just have to pray about that. We're going to have to seek the Lord. God's going to have to speak to us about that. If we're going to have a daughter, it will be because God said He would give us a daughter. That's the only way I'm having another child. I'm not risking anything else. Okay. So we prayed about it. Lord, again, this is not name it, claim it. This is seeking the heart of God and asking what His will is for our lives. Lord, would You be pleased to give us a daughter? And we prayed for several months about that thing. And we asked the Lord, God, Becky wants a daughter. Would You give us a daughter? And we prayed for several months until both of us came to a peace in our heart that God was going to give us what we were asking for. We believe God gave us a divine yes. Hear the process. God spoke to our heart and said yes. When He said yes, faith came. We began to act in faith and believe God. And in September of 1985, that curly-headed little thing over there, who looks just like her mother, was God's gift to us. God spoke. We believe. God responded with grace. Gave us what we asked for. God responds to faith. He's looking for a people who will believe in Him, who will just take Him at His word. No matter what that word might be, who will listen to God, believe what He says, prove that faith by doing what He says, God will respond with grace. This is how life-changing faith works. And please hear me, brothers and sisters, last point. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. I'm talking about anyone in this room, anyone out there who believes in Jesus. Whosoever will make up their mind, they're going to believe the Word of God and pursue the will of God in their lives. Whosoever will can have the kind of faith that receives the miraculous grace of God in their lives. So we're going to talk about things like, what does it mean to live by faith? What does that look like? What is faith? How does faith come? How can I have faith? How can I know that I've got faith? Because here's something else. A lot of times we can want something so intently, we can convince ourselves we're actually believing God for something that He never really promised us in the first place. So we'll talk about that as we move further into this series as well. But I'm just trying to tell you today, brother and sister, God's looking for faith. And if you live by faith in Jesus, it'll change your life. Let's pray together. And Father, we bless You today because of the opportunities that You put before us every day to have faith in You and to demonstrate that faith through obedience and to expect to experience Your amazing grace. Thank You, God, for what You have planned and for all that You can do for a people who are willing to believe in You. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand together with me, please.